How we doing? You guys are a rowdy bunch tonight. You are. I was hearing you earlier on. You are a rowdy bunch. Hey, babe, I've got my water here. Okay. Yep. Kemp juice. I've got my water, but don't be afraid. Surprising game. Good choice. A little bit concerned, just maybe because of the influenza going around. I don't know whether that's going to be a problem or not, but didn't think about that, risk assessment and all that sort of stuff, but no, good. They know each other so well, so I'm sure it'll go through their family first. Fantastic. My name's Peter. For those of you who may be new to Access, haven't seen me up here before, I'm around the place on team here at Staff, so at Seed. So great opportunity to share with you tonight. Message, if I can grab your attention just for the next few moments, because I really sense that God wants to grab your attention with something. Okay, something that is for you personally. Something that can change your world, change your life. So lean in. We saw a little bit on the intro there about being underrated. You know, we come across different things in life which we categorize as being underrated. Undervalued, underappreciated, misunderstood, underestimated, all those sort of things. Some of you may have had that opportunity to talk about some of those things in your small group, you know, in around those underrated movies or the bands that some of us may have stumbled across and love, but the rest of the world knows nothing about, just underrated things. Naming something beyond ourselves is one thing. That's so much easier to make a judgment on other things. But when it comes to ourselves, to myself, to yourself, when it gets up close and personal, that's when we find it hard to process and maybe see a way through, when we feel like we're underrated. When you feel underrated, how do you handle it? When you feel overlooked or overwhelmed, is it even possible for you to deal with that? Yeah, there's one story that comes to my mind of someone who's often been underrated. You may have heard of his story, or at least heard of the apparent good luck which fell his way. The year was 2002 and the location was Salt Lake City. The occasion was the Winter Olympics, the 1,000 metre short track men's speed skating final. Stephen Bradbury. Who's heard of Stephen Bradbury? A few of you? Who hasn't heard of Stephen Bradbury? There's a few around that have not heard. Okay, he was an Australian. He was in the final of this 1,000 metre race. Shh. Hush across the field. He was racing against the world's best. And there'd been different heats and semis, and he got into the final. He wasn't considered the favourite to win. In fact, he didn't even consider himself a chance of winning. Positive attitude going into a race. But let's watch some of the race and see what happened. He got across the line. I love the fact that I don't love it. I think it's an interesting connection that the guy, the American who was racing and favoured to win, his surname is Oh No. It is, look it up. Oh no. So many who saw this, including myself at the time, believed that Bradbury didn't deserve any special accolades or honour of crossing the line first. He only won because all the others fell over. I mean, why should he get the gold medal for that? He didn't win it. The others, who were faster and stronger athletes, simply lost. And there was a whole lot of media attention and an uproar from the countries of the other athletes saying it needed to be re-raced because it just wasn't right. And they believed Bradbury didn't deserve to win. And the race was a farce because of how it ended. Out of that incident, Bradbury even found his name included in our Australian vocabulary. You may have come across it. To do a Bradbury is to become the unlikely winner of a contest or to accidentally achieve success. Oh, you've done a Bradbury. Stephen Bradbury is a person. He was there. It happened to him. He was exposed to all this ridicule and accusation. And Bradbury described, as described in interviews, how he had been considered underrated, undervalued, underappreciated. And I was certainly one of those people who thought that about him, that he didn't win the race. It was just that he happened to be the last man standing. The feeling of being underrated. And I think we all experience moments like that in different ways. Just being underappreciated or underrated. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be hearing about a young guy called Timothy. And some of you may have already begun reading through those two books in the Bible that bear his name. And if you haven't done so yet, if you haven't started looking at that, I encourage you to do that. It's not too late. Jump in. They're only short little books. You can do it and get a bit of an idea of what was being written to this young guy, Timothy. Tonight is a bit more of an intro for these next 2 weeks. Next week will be a little bit more practical. But to bring everyone up to speed, let me give you some context. The Apostle Paul, who wrote a large portion of the New Testament, that second part of the Bible that we have, met this young lad, Timothy, and Timothy was raised with the knowledge and trust in God, a faith in Jesus. He had a Greek dad and he had a Jewish mum. Bit of a clash of cultures there. And we read that a lot of his faith was a result of his grandma and his mum investing and sowing into him the news about Jesus. Paul writes in the second letter to Timothy, reminding Timothy about his faith. I said, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. Timothy came in contact with Paul when he was just a teenager, as Paul traveled through the area in which he lived. And then Paul came back through that region about 3 years later, and Timothy's faith as a Christian had grown strong. So much so that Paul actually wanted to take Timothy with him as his assistant as he went to different regions telling people about Jesus. And those in Timothy's home church and region knew Timothy well and knew the spiritual gifts that were in his life. And so they were quite encouraging towards him leaving with Paul. So Paul, Timothy, other guys like Silas, Barnabas, you may have heard of them, they headed off to different areas preaching the message of Jesus. On several occasions, Paul gave Timothy the responsibility of starting and strengthening a church in a local area. And keep in mind that he's still a young man, probably in his late teens. And here he is, given the responsibility of leadership in this new movement of faith. Quite a role and a responsibility for this young guy. At one point, Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4:12, "Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity." Don't let anyone, whether they're the same age as you, whether they're a lot more advanced in years, anyone think less of you because you're young. Now, when you're young and thrown into something, you can quickly feel like you're coming under fire. You're attacked, maybe accused of things, made to feel underrated. You come under fire from those who maybe have more years under their belt, more experience in something. So they've got their way of doing things, and so you need to follow what they've done and do it exactly the same way. Otherwise, you're not doing it right. You don't have an opportunity to learn. Or you could come under fire from those who have a greater presence in a group, a sense of, they have the first word, they have the last word, and they have all the words in between. They take that. They're the life of the party. They walk in and everyone looks to them. You feel, man, I'm a little bit intimidated by that person. You can come under fire. You can come under fire from those who have their own preference of how things should roll. This is the way we've always done it. This is how it needs to be. Don't try and change things. You can even come under fire from your own perceptions, your own doubts, your own fears, your own expectations of who you want to try and aspire to be, rather than being true to yourself and who God's called you to be. So Paul writes different letters to Timothy, and these letters actually become letters that are read and looked at and reminded within the local churches, reminded of who they are called to be as a community of faith, to establish them, to help establish them as a spiritually healthy and relationally healthy community of faith, a community of faith which is centered in the message of Jesus, a community of faith which is empowered by the Holy Spirit, not corrupted by power or greed or arrogance, pride, a community of faith which is able to withstand that onslaught of persecution or hardship or challenge or opposition, those things which often come against us. A community of faith which overcomes the thoughts and feelings of being overwhelmed and overlooked, of being underrated. So Paul writes to Timothy and addresses issues about staying true to the message of Jesus, of not getting distracted by lies and false teachings about the Christian faith. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, Paul writes, "Timothy, remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes from trusting in Christ Jesus." Again, Paul's reminding him not to lose sight of the things you've been taught, not to lose sight of the faith that you hold. Stay true to it. Through the letters, Paul also reminds Timothy about the responsibilities of leaders within the local church, the importance of teaching and instructing people around, again, healthy respect and healthy relationships with each other. So there's a fair bit in these two books addressed to Timothy about specific roles and responsibilities within the church. So as you're reading through, you might think, well, what is all that about? You know, an overseer, a deacon, or you know, what's happening in that worship service? And what's... So that's into that local context and culture. So we need to be careful how we read that today. But it's all about order and honor and a community that honors each other, because it first and foremost honors God. But for tonight, from this quick glance across these two letters of Timothy, I've got two things I want to share with you. Firstly, Paul wanted Timothy to tell the people to take their faith seriously, to take their faith in Jesus seriously. Paul wanted for Timothy to take his faith seriously. As we read these books today, inspired word of God for our lives, it's like God is saying to us, take your faith seriously. Take your faith, own your own faith, and live it out in a way that is serious, because it's a serious matter before God. Here at XS, our community is about faith in Jesus. The purpose and reason we come together is centered in the truth of who Jesus is. That's where we begin. That's where we get perspective on life. It's in Jesus we find meaning and direction in life. It's through Jesus we learn how to love and care for one another, to respect each other, to commit ourselves to each other, to serve and honor each other. Excess, it's all about living life to the full. And sure, absolutely, it's about having a whole lot of fun together. But the fullness comes through a faith in Jesus, which is taken seriously. And when we say yes to following Jesus, it's walking closely with him each and every day. When we say yes to following Jesus, it's knowing that his way is so much better than our own. and for us to walk in that. If you're here tonight and you're unsure about what it is to have your own faith, what it means to have a faith in Jesus, it's an invitation for you also. We'd love to invite a conversation with you about that, for you to discover who this Jesus is that has done so much for you, to rescue you and to bring you back to a relationship with God where life makes sense, because God created you to have life and have life to the full. And there are leaders here who would love to share with you what it means to have that relationship and life of faith in Jesus. Perhaps your faith is just starting out. Take your faith seriously. At Easter camp, our speaker Jason mentioned about some of the cities which have hosted the Olympic Games. But now some of those cities have been left in a state of disrepair. The initial energy and enthusiasm of hosting the Olympics in these cities gradually dwindled away, and no effort or commitment was made to maintain and improve the infrastructure or quality of life in those places. And so now they remain, as Jason referred to, as the forgotten cities of the Olympics. And he compared this tragedy to what can happen to our own faith. We can be enthusiastic and passionate, and we experience something at the outset, but God isn't looking for just the beginning of our faith. He loves it when we come to realize who He is and how we are to trust Him and walk in faith in Him. But He's not just looking for that beginning. God desires the growth and maturing of our faith. God wants to take your faith in Him seriously. And can I just say this, that with Easter camp was fantastic. But for those who couldn't be there for various reasons, let me say to you, your presence with us here and now is just as important as it would have been at camp. We want you to feel every bit included and involved in where we are heading this term and through the rest of the year. For all of us, your small group is a place you can feel welcomed, encouraged, and built up in your faith. Your Access community is a place you can celebrate and declare God's power and presence in your life for the week past and for the week to come. That's why we come together to celebrate. That's why we come on a Friday night. That's why the church gathers on a Sunday here, to thank God for what's happened and to believe for what's to come. For all of us, those who were at camp and those who couldn't be at camp, what we do together from this time forward matters. I would say it matters even more than what we experienced at camp. Because faith doesn't call us to live in the past. Faith in God calls us to press forward into what is yet to be, and the best is yet to come. And He wants us to believe that. And what you might be experiencing this particular time, it does not feel like the best. But when you live a life of faith and you look ahead and you have that hope of Jesus Christ in your heart, you know that there is better ahead. And He's calling you in to a better relationship with Him. So take your faith in God seriously. Take your faith seriously. Secondly, hold your faith securely. Hold your faith securely. Protect your position and purpose in Jesus. Pursue the promises of God for your life. Pursue them. Go after them. Chase after them. Paul writes to Timothy again in 1 Timothy 6, verse 20. Timothy, guard what God has entrusted to you. Avoid godless, foolish discussions with those who oppose you with their so-called knowledge. Some people have wandered from the faith by following such foolishness. May God's grace be with you all. Guard what God has entrusted to you. guard it. Hold on to it. You know, there'll be things that will come along which will try and distract you. Things will try and distract you, even in this point in time. Stay with me. They'll distract you, they'll disappoint you, and they will try and knock you off your feet. Avoid those things which are going to see your faith come unstuck. And often in that moment, with the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you, and you are faced with a situation, and you think, I don't feel comfortable about this, I would say it's God speaking to your spirit. Say, I need to make a choice here. I could either go off the rails, I could make a small decision that ends up being another decision that starts causing me to drift in my faith, or I could stay firm and hold the faith which I have held in Jesus. 1 Timothy 4, keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. How we live our lives is a witness to those around us as well. So the faith that we live gives us purpose and meaning in life, but it is also a light to those who see how we live. Don't fall for the lies this world tries to convince you of. Stand tall. Even though others may fall around you, you stand tall. You be the one left standing at the end of the race. Hold your ground. Be certain of the life God has called you to go after and go for it. I think sometimes we're too afraid of making that step of faith because either we're not trusting God enough, or a little bit fearful of all the things that God wants to do in through us. Surrender your will to God's will, and he will do so much more through than what you can even imagine. He will empower you, he will strengthen you. Don't underrate yourself in your own faith. God wants to do something incredible through you. Take your faith seriously. Hold your faith securely. Let me return to the story of Stephen Bradbury. As you can imagine, there was a whole lot of disbelief as he crossed the line first. You guys celebrated, but for those who saw it the first time, that what just happened there? Those guys crashed out. Oh no. Bradbury tells how he actually felt uncomfortable in those minutes between the end of the race and when he had to step onto the podium. He was thinking, should I actually do this? Should I receive the gold medal? Do I deserve it? And was it right that he should have accepted that? And he admitted that he wasn't necessarily even in the top eight of best skaters in the whole competition. But he found himself there in the race. He says he chose to stand proudly on that podium and receive the recognition because it wasn't for the couple of minutes he was in that race. That wasn't the reason he stood and accepted that gold medal. It was for the years of training and commitment that had got him to that finish line. See, this was his fourth Olympics. I didn't even know this. And realize it in the moment. I thought it was just, where did he come from? This was his fourth Olympics. And he'd endured hardships and setbacks and disappointments for over more than 12 years. From a near fatal injury, skating injury, in which he lost about 4 liters of blood and needed over 100 stitches. Bit gruesome, let's move on. And another occasion where he had a head-first crash into a barrier and broke his neck. He faced some serious challenges. But he didn't give up. He took his dream seriously. He held his dream securely. A dream to compete and do his absolute best in a sport he loved. So he continued to train and he fought for the opportunity to compete. And when it came to the final, he knew what his purpose was in that race, just to skate as best as he could. He might not have been the fastest or the strongest, but he knew what he needed to do in that race, and he stayed true to it. And to avoid being caught up in anything that would see him disqualified or knocked out of the race, he ran that race well so that he was there at the finish line. Even to his surprise, his arms up, celebrating. He had faith enough to be in the race, and he took it seriously, and he held his position securely. He did. And you see others falling around him. It wasn't just the 2 minutes or so that he was celebrating. It was those years of hard work, of having the belief, the dream, the faith that he could be there. He wanted to do his best. We face challenges, hardships, setbacks, times where we feel broken and crushed. In those moments, it's your faith that gets you through. Before those moments, it's important to take your faith seriously, because that helps you get through those seasons. It's important to hold on to your faith securely, because that sees you through and God helps you through. Excess, take your faith seriously. Hold your faith securely. Don't let distractions and lies try to knock you off your path. Don't let others tell you you are no good or that you don't belong. God knows you. God loves you. God wants the best for you. God wants to shine through you. So don't be intimidated. Don't be afraid to step out in faith. Step up, get in the race. Set your sights on the prize. A life lived to its fullest as a child of God. Invite the team up. I invite you guys to stand. I'm going to pray for us. In a moment, I'll invite you guys to come forward as we sing a couple of songs to close off. But let's just have just a moment of quiet. Our eyes closed. God, we stand here before you, hearing again how much you love us, you want to know us, you desire for us to trust you, to follow you, to have faith in you so that we may have purpose and direction and hope in life. God, I pray for those who are right in this moment facing challenge, dealing with setbacks and heartbreak. God, I pray that they will be reminded again right now of the purpose and plan and promises that you have for them. That they are created wonderfully as a child of God. God, help us to, in those moments where we can easily get distracted from our faith, knocked off course, off the path that you've called us to follow. Help us to have that conviction and that confidence and that courage to keep walking forward, following you, Jesus. You call us into a life of freedom, a life of joy, that life of hope. Excited for the things that you're doing in and through us individually and as a community of faith. And we thank you for the words that have been spoken to Timothy, which encourage us and remind us of not to be intimidated, not to be afraid, but to believe and trust in you each and every day. We give you thanks for this in Jesus' name.